All right, welcome back. More of the Connor Apper Show here on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. PJ Fleck taking some heat from a former player who ended up transferring to North Carolina State.
Yeah, hate to see it.
Val Martin is his name. He kind of goes on a bit of a rant. He's responding to people. He got in his feels a little bit. This is not the first time, by the way, this has happened in college football or just in sports in general. Guy leaves team. He didn't like his experience at Minnesota. It does not appear. Just reading through some of the tweets.
He calls him a weirdo.
Yeah. Calls him a weirdo. One of his tweets says, "Half of the people in that culture hate it. Half of the people in that culture hate it. Why do you think people always leaving a player and coaches? You're trying to peek over a fence you can't even see over, but got an opinion about what's on the other side." He called him a... said, "I'm not going to lie, the worst thing I probably ever did was go to the University of Minnesota." 100 emoji. "Fleck is a hell of a car salesman." Crying face. This thing about these, there's a lot of emojis going on and not a lot of punctuation. It's crazy because when I go places, people ask me, "Well, how's Fleck?" And I just say, "He's different." Side eye emoji. And then they laugh and say, "We heard so many stories about him." Look, man. PJ Fleck is basically the definition of this guy. You like him or you don't. You want to be a part of the program or you don't. You find success in the program or you don't. And if any of those three things go the wrong way, you might not enjoy your experience.
He could not have gotten to Minnesota and then realized,
"Oh, this guy's sort of a weirdo.
Oh, this guy's wired differently."
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, things sometimes go one way during the recruiting process as far as the relationships are concerned. I mean, that's what they always used to say. Maybe it's a little bit more fluid nowadays in recruiting as far as the relationships are concerned. But that's how it always used to go. We recruit them, we build them up, and then once they get here, we tear them down, right? We reprogram, that type of thing. You're not as good as you think you are, all that stuff. And I don't know if that's how it goes in Minnesota's program. I'm not exactly sure 100% what the former player is even really like alleging here that's bad. I think what we're just seeing is a guy did not have a good experience at the University of Minnesota. I think that's happened at Nebraska before. It's probably happened with Scott Frost before. We've seen guys tweet after they've left. We've seen guys tweet about other coaches after they've left. I would just be careful with all this stuff. And because it's Fleck, it can be sort of polarizing because I think we think a certain way about him. But does this work against them really in any way, shape or form? I don't think so.
I loathe PJ Fleck. This story confirms every bias I have about PJ Fleck. And I'm still like, yeah, you know what? You had a bad time and you're venting about it on Twitter. Totally get it. I'm fine with it. But it
right.
He's not accusing him of like, "Oh, he made me push the guy's car uphill 10 miles." Like there's nothing here that is quite frankly even worthy of a tweet.
I'm with you. There's a whole, what's worthy of a tweet would be a long conversation
yes,
for us.
Yes.
Man, I got some I got some questionable ones out there as far as what is worthy and what is not worthy of a tweet. I'll fully admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I mean, is it different if he's not winning football games? Maybe. Does it add to the case that somebody is trying to build to like get him out there? Maybe. But it's sort of just background noise in a situation where, like, if you are winning, if you are doing, maybe not even if you're doing things the right way, but if you are winning, then everything else pretty much falls into place. If a former player who transferred out, I don't know, Wandale Robinson or something like that, whoever, they go on a tweet thread about their situation and their point of view and how Frost or how the coaching staff was to them and some of the things that they saw behind the scenes, it would cause an issue here. Nebraska football is not in a position as a program where they can like absorb some of these things and just say, well, you know what? Because here's what PJ can come back with. If he chooses to, but I think this is sort of off the shoulder, a glancing blow, if you will.
No, PJ Fleck only brings the new face out for the big stories.
It's a new face.
People forget.
But PJ Fleck could say, like, well, our culture is pretty good, and a lot of people seem to like our culture, and this guy obviously didn't, and he left. And that's okay. Everybody wins.
He didn't buy in. We got the guys who bought in here with us, and it's great. We love it. End of presser.
Val got a message yesterday from a different former player that he tweeted out yesterday. Val did. I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but just some of the things that happened. He canceled, this is from the other former player, he canceled practices weeks of big games and cited the reason because we didn't have, quote, energy. Then he would use him having to cancel practice as a scapegoat to blame us, did this multiple times. Well, if you didn't make me cancel practice, he'd say. Constantly said these four walls, but would bring up articles about himself and the program to us we would never see. Here's my favorite one out of all the complaints. Brag to his broke college players that he owns a $10,000 knife set.
Now that's the stuff I want to know. Don't tell me he's a weirdo. Tell me how weird he is.
Your microphone's not on, by the way.
Oh, let me turn it on. Don't tell me he's a weirdo. Tell me how weird he is. That's the stuff I want.
He fired someone on staff because they took a video of Flex Carr getting a parking ticket. Players wanted to go to compliance with the issues of playing for him, and he discouraged it. Once they were informed, compliance would bend the rules to fit whatever Fleck wanted. Team meetings in the offseason were optional, which included punishment if you missed. Wouldn't matter, though, because compliance lets Fleck do whatever he wants. Last thing, this is all from the note. These Gopher fans are getting real evidence that the coach they support mentally manipulates his own players, and they still want to say you're the bad guy. Please, Gopher fans, open your eyes to the truth. These many allegations don't come from nowhere. All the current Gophers can tweet, row the boat all they want, even though you're forced to tweet that, but they know it's true. He's claiming that they're forced to tweet, row the boat. He's not the person he portrays on camera. If you're a recruit, please do your research before playing for the Gophers. The man preaches about character but has none. Thanks for sticking your neck out there for us and taking the heat from a delusional Minnesota sports fan. Open your eyes!
He just described literally every head football coach.
Yeah.
That's all coaching is mental manipulation.
Yeah. I mean, there's better ways to go about it. You could certainly be more... quote unquote honest or authentic. The Fleck thing though, I was always amazed by it. And I thought leading up to his time at Minnesota and in his first couple of years, I'm like, this guy, his whole deal is a bit. This is all a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sat down and talked at Media Days one of those years, and he sort of reels you in a little bit. And he makes you feel like, whether it's true or not, he makes you feel like that's who he is. He makes you feel like that's exactly who he is. Now, these players get to be around him all the time. Can he be the crazy energy ball at all times? It seems difficult to do. But I don't know. Like, I don't want to put this all on the players, but sometimes you either buy in or you don't. And there's a lot of people that buy in. There's a lot of people that buy in.
Mm-hmm.
Would I? Maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I'm just like, this guy's corny and I don't buy it. I'm not going to go there.
It's definitely not for me.
Right? I'm just going to leave. This is not what I'm about. I'm going to find a college football program that's culture sort of fits me a little bit better. But Dave tweets into the show. He says, I find it odd that any recruit would be surprised by Fleck. For better or for worse, I think you know exactly what you're getting when you sign on to play at Minnesota.
Right? Like, did you not look at a video clip of Fleck? Like, scroll through the team's Twitter account?
I guess that would be the question. Like, what did you see when you signed?
Uh-huh.
And you bought it then. Right? So, yeah. I think there's some merit here. I've seen examples of Fleck being sort of full of himself over the last couple of years. He's very front and center with everything Minnesota does. By the way, I don't think that's abnormal for a college football program. College football is run by coaches, and its faces of programs are coaches. Not that that's a great thing. It's probably not, but that's what I'm saying is that's not abnormal in college football. He is absolutely front and center. And some of the better programs around the country, honestly, they happen to have the coaches that are front and center. They defend their program. They promote their program. Man, you will not meet a better promoter of their program than PJ Fleck. Does it lack a sort of worldly view of things? Sure. But you're the coach of Minnesota. Your responsibility is to get Minnesota the best, you know, players, coaches, facilities, all that stuff. Your responsibility is to make Minnesota better. So what are you going to do? You're going to promote Minnesota. Like, to the point where it's like, all right, PJ, come on. You have the best this, this, and this in the country. You're Minnesota. I believe it, right? And after a while, maybe things aren't going that well for you, and you're like, hold on. This guy, he's saying all these things, but I sort of don't believe him. Well, that's kind of his deal. That's kind of his deal. And I think, like I said, I think PJ is an interesting character. And look, we're biased. We're here in Nebraska. We've seen it over the last couple of years. I think it would be, I mean, I would tell you, it seems a little fake. The bit, the act, it seems a little bit fake at times. I don't know the circumstances behind him getting a fake face or a new face, but you know, like that sort of makes sense. But I don't know that has to be like a controversy. But I'm interested. That's for sure.
He's got a new face.
He's got a new face. He's got a whole new face.
He does. He does. Someone's going to ask him about this at Media Days.
Couple texts here from Aaron. You can text in the show, 402-951-1620.
Oh, I don't have the text up. Okay.
Name a head coach who isn't a a-hole. And I could point to a liar. I love college football. The head coaches are among the worst people there is. Yeah, so maybe there needs to be a better like understanding from players of like, hey, this is, you know, there's a relationship here. And no matter what, at the end of the day, you're probably going to feel a little bit, quote unquote, used by the situation. You're not going to get as much out of, you know, as much as you want out of it than maybe the coaches are. That's going to be a winning battle. But that's not like a situation that I want to sort of lay out there. I don't want to be in a competition for who's getting more out of this relationship. That's not how I think about things. And if it is, then I don't know. PJ Fleck's probably not the right guy to be around. An email here from John on the Equitable Bank inbox. I'd rather play for a coach as a freak show than be on a great, great name. We should use freak show more often.
I don't think the carnival industry uses it anymore.
And yeah, it's a little much. I'd be on a team that is good enough to go on the road and win with 38 scholarship players than play for a coach that has no grasp of reality and be on a team that is bad enough to lose at home to a team with 38 scholarship players. I'm not sure what he's referencing there.
Oddly specific example, but okay.
What are you talking about?
No need to dig further.
Coaches have different ways they go about their business, and they run their programs, and they have autonomy because that's one of the things that they sort of require when they walk into jobs. Hey, we can't have all of these different things. Look at what happened to Mike Riley. I don't think Mike Riley really had an idea, and maybe he had an idea of what he wanted, but there was 42 different people calling the shots in his program, and look what happened. They didn't have anything that they stood by.
Huh. You guys take this football thing really seriously here, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Like the idea of having a lot of, you know, a lot of people in the room and a lot of people to bounce stuff off of, I think is good. And I think it's something that every staff could use more of. But ultimately, one guy's got to be making the calls. And that guy's going to seem like he has a lot of control and a lot of swing at the end of the day. But guess what? He does. He just does. All right. We'll come back with the odd news next on 1620 The Zone.